Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
So we're starting a brand new series today and calling it Guarded. So talking about being guarded, you wrote a book years ago called The Orphan's Heart. And that's the topic we're going to lean into. But I wanted a conversation to start the series because I think a lot of us go, oh, well, I'm not an orphan.
Right.
But a lot of us, in fact, I could say maybe most or all of us have orphan heart issues. We have fear issues. We isolate. We get nervous. People are going to hurt. Because all of us have been wounded. All of us have been hurt from a relationship, from a parent relationship, a friend relationship, a sibling. Something or someone has hurt us, so we're living guarded. And there's the passage where Jesus goes to his disciples, and he goes, I will not leave you orphans.
Yeah.
Hold up, Jesus, you're talking to 12 men that had a mother and a father. In fact, many of these men are working in family businesses.
Right.
So the Jewish culture was very focused on the family unit, generations. And so how are you telling this group of men, I won't leave you orphan? None of them are orphans. Mm-hmm. And yet Jesus says, no, y'all are, but I'm not going to leave you that way. So clearly if the disciples, after 3 years of following Jesus, he goes, no, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Clearly there's something for all of us to gain from this idea, from this topic, to get healthy, to get whole, to be real sons and daughters of God. But talk to me about this idea of what does it mean to have this orphan's heart? And what does it mean when Jesus says, I won't leave you orphans?
Yeah, so I brought a copy of The Orphan's Heart, and I need you to give me a new title. But I think I'm just going to go with guarded.
Yeah.
It really is a thing. And I started meditating on the thought, I will not leave you orphans, in the context of why do we struggle with some of these issues? Fear, anxiety, defensiveness. And in my early years in ministry, I worked with a lot of people struggling with addictions, the habits that were destroying their life. Why don't you stop doing that? It seems so easy, right? This is really hurting you, your health, your marriage, your children. You should stop. And of course, they would say, I'm trying. Yeah. So that context got me searching, what is the orphan? Well, orphans are people that have lost their parents either in war or accident or just abandonment. Orphans tend to get passed around. If you're in the foster care system, it's one foster parent and another foster, you know, and then you're just, now you're in the system. And then you age out, which was a term I learned when we got involved supporting foster care in the Northwest. You age out because no one adopted you, so you just went from family to family until you were 18, and now you've aged out. That's got to be another level of anxiety.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of we start getting defensive because we feel like we're on our own. I'm fighting my fights, and I gotta take care of myself. And we close our heart, and we start defending. And Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel and heal broken hearts." Isn't it interesting? Before healing the blind or any other issue, heal broken hearts. I think a lot of us get saved and we're going to heaven, but our heart is still broken.
Yeah.
Because we're still defensive, a bit sensitive.
Yeah.
We remember all the things we've been through, and that I defined it as the orphan's heart. And today we're talking about how we start guarding because our heart is broken.
You know, I was prepping for my next week's message, and as I was doing all this research on kind of relationships in the world today and how so many of us are so guarded in relationships, all this research started coming out that in our relationships, many of us, and I think most of us, have fear of rejection or abandonment, difficulty trusting others, challenges to form and maintain healthy and deep relationships, jealousy, insecurity, or comparison, performance-based acceptance, difficulty receiving love and difficulty receiving correction, bad conflict patterns, and a sense of not belonging.
That's a lot.
As I put that together, I said, well, I think that's all of us. I think all of us struggle somewhere. We might not struggle in all of these things, but we struggle with belonging or rejection or abandonment. We struggle with trust. We struggle with receiving love. We struggle with receiving correction. And so I think that's the sign that many of us, while we wouldn't outright say, oh, I have an orphan's heart, we have a heart that's fragile, that's broken, that's guarded. And the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. But there's a difference between guarding it with wisdom versus building these walls and this broken heart. And all of a sudden, now you're fearful and you're guarded. And so I think there's such a difference between a healthy guarding and fear-based guarding. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it's always about motivation, isn't it? You can do right things with wrong motives. Like, it's right to come to church. But if you come because you think, I need to get back to God, I've been away too long, and I need to meet with the Lord, well, that's not good, because God's with you wherever you are. Yeah. So we often do the right thing with the wrong motive, and it doesn't work out so good. So you mentioned, Kay, the new devotional that's on the app, and it's called Guarded, and the subtitle for today is Let Healing In.
Yeah.
So if you guard your heart in a positive way, you let the good things in, you don't let the bad things. But if you become defensive and sensitive and, you know, got your walls up, you don't let the bad things in, but you also don't let healing in. You don't let good things in. And I think a lot of us are in that place where our heart's been broken. We've been through maybe a divorce, maybe an abandonment, more than our fair share of disappointments. So now it's a wall.
Yeah.
It's not a gate that can go either way. It's just a wall. How many people come to church and say things like this? I love Christian faith, but I don't want to get involved. What does that mean? It means I don't want relationship. I don't want new friendships. I don't want to have to serve. I don't want expectations. It just means we're trying to protect ourselves. And we're trying to not let anybody get too close. And yeah, it's a bummer. And it's not just us, obviously. This is a cultural, maybe even a global issue.
Yeah.
We're worried about getting married and having children and all these things. I really think it's because of the orphan's heart, that broken heart.
In Romans 8:15, it says, do not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, which is, that's a lot. Don't fall back into fear, which means we've left fear. We've gotten out of fear. Because of Jesus, we've left fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father, or Father, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word for this. It's like dad or daddy. It's the closest endearing term for father. So he's saying we cry out, Dad, because we've been adopted in. Talk to me about this idea of the spirit of adoption.
Yeah, what a wonderful thought, right? To be chosen when you adopt a child, you choose that child, you want that child, and it's a beautiful thing, and God adopted you. So if somebody says, I don't really believe in adoption, wait up. You are an adopted child, adopted sons and daughters. But what that means is you're not just a servant. You're not just a member in the church. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're in the family. You can't get closer than that, yeah. Right? You can't get any tighter than that. Yeah. And so we have to think of our relationship with God in terms of we are chosen by him to be his son and his daughter. And the world is so fragmented because they have that empty space crying out for their father and fighting over everything. We will fight over racial issues, religious issues, financial issues, immigration issues. Let's just fight. Why does the whole world want to fight?
Yeah.
Because there's a space in their heart that's empty.
Yeah.
And that empty space is crying out, Abba, Father. They don't know who he is, and they don't know how to get to him, how to receive him. But that's our problem. And many of us who come to God kind of keep the same behavior. You know, we keep doing the same things that we did before we came to God. And you said it the other day, Caleb, we treat God more like we're still in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's kind of a transaction. I bring my sacrifice, you take care of me for another week.
Yeah.
You know, I say my prayers, you protect my family.
Yeah.
We're not transactioning with God.
Yeah.
We're just receiving from him, yeah. Trusting him, believing him. Don't think of what you do as a transaction. If Caleb was always coming to me with a deal, so, Dad, if I pay, would you and Mom go to dinner with Krista and me? What do you mean, if you pay? Heck yeah, we want to hang out any chance we get. By the way, will you bring the grandkids? Because they're actually more important.
Yeah, that's the real deal. That's the real deal.
Right? I don't want my son making a deal with me over every little issue that comes up. If I do this, would you do that?
Yeah.
No, he just calls up and say, hey, we got stuff going on. You want the kids for the weekend? Yeah. It's just relationship.
Yeah.
It's just love. And when you go to God, well, I tithed. How come I didn't get my raise?
Totally.
I gave in the special event. How come I didn't get my blessing? You know, it's we treat God in a transactional way. And no, we should be crying out, Abba, Father.
I think that's so spot on with that. We see God wrong. We forget that the Bible says, I so loved you that I gave my son.
When you were still a sinner.
While you were still in your mess, I loved you first. I came to you first. I didn't create a transactional relationship after you came to me. It's still this, we gotta come to God as, oh, Abba, like Dad. And that, I, like you were saying with you and I, it's like, my little man's 7, and the it would break my heart if he came upstairs, his room's down in the basement. If he came upstairs, Dad, I cleaned my room. Do you love me?
Right. Like,
what do you mean, do I love you?
Right.
I don't love you because you clean up after yourself. But honestly, bro, I loved you when you were still pooping your pants.
Right.
Like, I was loving you before you offered anything in this equation. You didn't bring much to the table. I loved you while I was dreaming of you, while I was praying for you. I loved you while you were in your mother's. I have loved you since the second I thought you were coming. It was not I loved you because you're smart or clean your room or anything. And how many of us go to God still with this tension of, have I done enough? What do you mean, have I done enough? That breaks your father's heart. Like, Levi, well, he could never do anything the rest of his life. I'm going to love that little man forever.
I'll be there.
There's nothing he could do or not do to change my love. And so we need to come to God realizing that's how much he loves us. There's no transaction. I got to be all in.
Here's a funny story that goes along with that thought. Two things that I'm probably not great at. One is history, because I'm focused on tomorrow, yesterday, not that important to me. History's not my thing. Second thing is long drives going nowhere. I'm all about what's the fastest way to get there. Yeah. Let's go. But my son Micah loves history and apparently loves cross-country drives. So every time he would move to a new military base, I would volunteer. I'm there, Micah. We'll load up the car, or we'll rent something, and we'll drive to your new base. We drove from Washington, D.C. to Phoenix, Arizona, and stopped every day at a historical site. Are you listening to this right now, Micah? This is love, my brother. Driving all day and then stopping at another Civil War battleground.
Yeah.
Or Museum of the Army. Now, not my thing, but it's his thing,
yep.
So I'm in. I'll do it again. I hope he's not listening.
That idea, we haven't received a spirit of slavery to go back to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. So let's just think about that for a second. What's the spirit of fear, or the spirit of pride, or the spirit, like, we understand that idea, like, all that person has a spirit of joy on them, or like, there's different spirits that you could sense with people, right? You're like, all that person has a spirit of something, and it's positive or negative. So what would it be that you would sense about yourself if you said, man, that person has a spirit of sonship?
Right.
There is a sense that there is a comfort that I have with you and mom that few other people have. I could come as a kid. I said it last week as a story when I was teaching. I interrupted a meeting that hindsight was a board meeting. In the moment, I didn't know, but I was a son. I walk right into dad's office. I hang out with dad. I grab a drink. I interrupt him. I feel totally at home, totally interrupting you. In my immaturity, today I wouldn't do that. But when I was 10, I was like, hey, dad's just here hanging out. I'm sure you were just waiting for me. You know, like, as all 10-year-olds think. And why? Because I had a spirit of sonship. Not many other people, in fact, only two other people on the planet had that same spirit with you. So not everyone could just walk into your office and bother you. In fact, no staff could have just walked in and bothered you. No other students at the school that I was attending could have just walked in and bothered you. But I had a spirit of a son that said, I have access. What's up, dad? Guess who's here? Your eldest. Weren't you excited that I showed up? Didn't you want me to interrupt you right now? Okay, well, why can I act that way? Because I'm a son. You have a spirit of sons and daughters, which means you should have boldness to walk into God's presence and say, you've been waiting for me, haven't you? Yeah, you were wanting me to show up?
It's me, Lord.
Look at who's here. You're welcome. You're welcome. Why? Because we have the spirit of adoption, not just the legal. See, that's the difference, is some people feel like, oh, I'm a son, I'm saved, but we still carry guilt. We still carry, we've got to earn it and deserve it. And no, it's not just been legally, you're not just legally in the family of God, but he's like, oh, I got to take that one. No, he wants you. Like, he's like, I chose you. You're my son, and I want you to live like it, act like it, talk like it, carry authority like I'm your dad. Use my name. Go sign my name on some checks out there. Because you're my son. So act like it. And I think that spirit is something that the church is missing today. And it's not an arrogance, and it's not a prideful spirit. It's not a boastful spirit. I have full confidence in who I am as a son and a daughter of God. And that spirit is a massive shift because it moves us from that spirit of fear into, no, no, I'm a son. I have ownership here. I have claim here. I have comfort here. I didn't have to earn my way or deserve my way. No, it came with who I am. It's part of my identity.
And it is part of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not like it's a separate thing, right? Like you have all these different spirits, joy or praise or... No, it's the Holy Spirit. And he brings sonship, daughtership, peace, joy, love, whatever. So Jesus said, it's more important that I go away so you can get the Holy Spirit and then live in that presence of God, in that Spirit of God. We all can have it. And it's a good thing to meditate on. Go to the app again. I mentioned it. It's there's so much good stuff in this first few days in the devotional app, because it will ask you some questions about how you think about your sonship, your daughtership, your relationship with God. How many Christian people say, I've been away from the Lord and I need to go back to church and I need to get back in. Okay, well, I appreciate that. And I understand what you're trying to say. But you could do that before breakfast at home. You could say, Father, I haven't been connecting, haven't been meditating, haven't been praying the way I want to, and I'm just rededicating myself to you. Practice that presence of God every day, everywhere. At work, bad news comes. Layoffs are coming, cutbacks, financial problems, whatever it is. You don't have to wait to church to pray. You say, Father, you saw this coming. You knew, and you got a plan for me. So I'm not scared. I'm not nervous. You got me, and we're going to overcome this. Practice the presence. Live like a son of God or a daughter of God, no matter where you are, and no matter what you're going through. And you've heard me say it before, when the tragedy comes, when the sickness comes or the crisis comes, you find out what you believe. Get it now, have it now in your heart and in your mind. I'm a son of God. When the tragedy comes, I don't blink. When the crisis comes, I don't blink, because I know my Father and he never leaves me nor forsakes me. Yeah. It might be hard. I may have some hard things ahead, but God's going to get me through. Yeah. God's going to enable. He's going to empower. I'm going to win. And that's why Jesus said, it's better that you have the Holy Spirit and that you don't feel like orphans, but you have the Spirit of God leading your life.
Some of the biggest issues with that guarded orphan's heart is this constantly seeking validation and protection. And one of the things you mentioned earlier, and it's in the devotional, and it's just a 7-day devotional, church, so get it in that church app. This week, just lean into that. I think all of us could benefit from it and grow from it, is the idea of, because the Bible says, you know, guard your heart, but don't build walls. So we talk about building gates, not walls. And this orphan's heart consistently seeks validation and protection. What can we do to be healthy so that we're not always seeking that validation and always building walls, but actually creating lives that have gates in them? So there's wisdom. We're guarding our hearts, but we're not building walls around our hearts.
Yeah, well, this goes to, in my mind, it goes back to your key message. And thank the Lord, Caleb has a revelation on identity. And he will help all of us, because your identity is what's deciding whether you build a wall that keeps people out or a gate that lets people in, a wall that keeps even your healing out or a gate that lets your healing in. And if your identity is based on an abusive parent, things you went through in the past with your family, if your identity is based on the ex, ex-boyfriend, ex-fiance, ex-husband, ex-wife, you're in trouble because all these people, they had their own issues and now you've picked it up and it's part of your identity. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be hard. Let's get past that. Let's get healed from that. That's part of your broken heart. And here's a lie that the devil tells us. Well, that's my story. That's who I am. Okay, it's part of your story, but it's not who you are. You are a new creation in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Him. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are not what the ex says you are. Yeah. You are not what somebody in your past says about you. So identify with God. The healthy heart, the whole heart has an identity from God. There's only one creator. He defines who you are.
Yeah, true.
All this other stuff doesn't define you. Even though it may have been a major issue,
yeah.
Right? I was recently reading a story of a man who's 7 years in a concentration camp. 7 years in war, he was stuck as a prisoner of war. Man, that would have an enormous impact on your life. But you know what he said? It does not define who I am. I learned a lot from his story because we all have to decide my identity is in Christ. It's not in what somebody else did to me.
Yeah. It's powerful. One of the things that I think all of us desperately need is to truly get this revelation of God as a Father so deep inside of us that it really sets our identity. Because if my identity isn't set as a son of His and defined by Him, then I'm always able to be defined by others. And other people can hurt me and can impact me and can affect me and can stab me in the back and can leave me, and I could lose trust and I could lose confidence and I could lose my security, and I'm always looking to define myself by my successes and I'm always feeling limited by my failures. And so I logically will start to build walls because of everything I'm going through. It's like mental gymnastics every day. It's exhausting because that person left me. I didn't have a dad. My mom did this. But if I am secure in God, if I'm a son of His, then I now am so healthy and so confident in who I am that now what they do doesn't impact who I am. Now, I still don't want to open my life up to bad people to attack me or to hurt me or to bring bad influences into my family. But even the person that abandons me or tries to say something painful or hurting to me doesn't actually impact my identity, because I'm so healthy in God that I can now realize, oh, they're lashing out because they're unhealthy, not because I'm bad. They abandon me because of an issue that they have, not because of who I am or because I'm an issue. Because I'm healthy, now in that moment, God can use me to love them, to be faithful to them, to be a support to them. But many of us struggle to love others because we can't love ourselves, because our identity is still so fragile, because we don't know who we are in Christ. And so every time someone stabs me in the back, I think, oh, see, people are bad. I'll always be abandoned. It must be a me issue because everyone always leaves me. As opposed to saying, I know who I am in Christ, so now I can see that person's hurting. And it's not a me issue. It's a they're hurting, and I could be faithful to them and I could love them through their pain. They're lashing out at me, making it look like it's a me issue, but it's really that they're confused. And then all of a sudden God starts using me because I have so much confidence in Him, because I'm His son and nothing can change that. So getting that God loves us and adopted us in, and catch this thought as I was studying in this adoption idea, is when Jesus was saying stuff like this, in our context, adoption and orphans is a lot different than it was then. Because when you would adopt anyone in that culture, you could adopt both children and men. you could adopt adults. And it was accepting that person into your family. But here's one of the coolest parts I learned is that it, when you were adopted, it didn't make you better than the sons that were born to the family, but it gave you more security than them because legally an adopted son could never be excommunicated from a family. While a son that was born to the family could be kicked out. But once you adopt a son in that culture, you couldn't legally remove him. So once the adopted son's in, he's in. And I thought, that's what God is saying to us. I brought you in and ain't nothing kicking you out. And we need to have confidence that God brought us in and stuff comes with that. In that culture, men would want to be adopted to different types of families because it came with the name and inheritance and power or authority or whatever it was in that family. And so it was a different culture of adoption. And God is saying, no, I'm adopting you into my family. You get everything that comes with me. And there is no way for you to get kicked out. Not even anything you do removes you from this adoption. And that should give us confidence that God is a father that loves us no matter what we're going through, no matter where we've been, no matter what we look like, no matter what your scars are or your flaws or your failures. He's like, I pick you. Now act like it.
I have chosen you. Give me an amen right there. Jesus said that, didn't he? You didn't choose me. I chose you. I'm the one that's here making this happen. I chose you. And what an amazing revelation. You know, we often think that in the Old Testament, and let's consider that kind of religious tradition, right? Even nowadays, we all have our kind of, quote, Old Testament religious traditions. We think that by doing certain things, we please God, God's happy with us, then God does good things for us. And I remember somebody had left our church years ago, and I bumped into him. I said, where you been? He said, man, I've been tithing for years, and then I lost my job, we lost our home, and I've been in financial ruin. And I said, what does that have to do with leaving church? And they said, I've been tithing and it didn't work. So they had this mentality that I have a deal with God. Like God is Bob Barker. Let's make a deal. What are you gonna do? And then here's what I'll do. And this transactional, that's how many of us think about the Old Testament. Oh, they had to bring a sacrifice. Oh, they had to follow the traditions. They had to wash a certain way. No, all of those things were just to help people realize, oh, God's at work in every part of my day. The Jewish traditions were not transactions with God.
Yeah.
They were just trying, Paul called them a schoolmaster, teaching the people how God was involved with every part of their day. So now here we are in a New Testament. We have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus, and we're still going through the same things, trying to make a deal with God, trying to have a transaction with God. Yeah. And we really need to just move into sonship, move into family, move into being adopted kids who, like you say, can't be kicked out of the family.
Yeah.
By the way, those of you who love to think about theological issues, can you lose your salvation? The fact that you would ask that question means you never will, because it's a concern in your life. Okay, I'm going to say it again because some are watching the game right now. You need to. If you're asking the question, can I lose my salvation? I sinned. I went through this. I went through that. Can I lose my salvation? You haven't, nor will you ever, because it's a concern for you. You value your salvation. You're still connected to God, and He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and you're not going to leave Him because it's a concern for you, right? So stop the debate, right? And stop acting like you're in the Old Testament, bringing your pigeon to church. PETA does not want you bringing sheep to church.
Or me.
Neither does Caleb.
Yeah.
No, you're adopted. You were chosen. Yeah. You are in, and you can't get out. Have you ever had the waiter or the waitress at the restaurant that does all the right things, but you get the feeling that they're not having any fun?
Yeah.
Just an attitude. It's like, you want some water? Can you afford it? I mean, right? And even if they do a good job, they served it, but there was no joy. There was no excitement. There was, so in serving God, we're not just doing stuff because God wants us to. Well, I got to go to church. Why are you going to church? Well, you know, my wife wants me to go, and probably God wants me to go. I don't even know. It's like, come on, man. Bring the joy. Bring the excitement. And yes, the waiter's getting paid, but we want more than just, I'm here to make a dollar. Right? It's that spirit of life. That's adoption. That's being part of the family. That's not, I'm just going through the religious motions.
Well, like with my kids, I know the difference between when one of my kids comes and sits with me to just sit with me and when they're like waiting to ask for something. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Like 30 seconds in, like, so, and you're like, get out of here. No, get out of here. You ain't setting me up. That's the difference. It's like, just go sit with, it's like what Jesus says to Martha and Mary. It's like, oh, Martha, Martha, Mary picked the higher call. She's just sitting here with me. Yeah. I didn't need you back there working. I just need you up here with me.
Yeah.
One of the questions I have is when we're building these walls, they're just built brick by brick. And it makes sense. I was hurt. I was abandoned. I didn't have a parent. I didn't have this. And they're all logical. Most of our walls aren't built in thin air. They're built because someone did hurt us and we did have a loss and we did lose something and we did get stabbed in the back. And how do we tear these bricks down one by one to remove the walls while still living in wisdom where there's gates, we're guarding our heart, but we're not living isolated. We're not living fearful. How do we get, what are some of those bricks and how do I get some of them out of my life?
Yeah, it is a process, right? It's not just like one day the wall appeared, therefore in one day it's not going to disappear.
Right.
So when I first started on my Christian journey, I could never see myself free from drugs and alcohol. I just could not imagine living free in that area. And I said to Julius, who was my spiritual father in my early years, I said, I can't get my mind around never wanting to be drunk or to be high. So I never had the idea of you have a glass of wine. That wasn't my thing. My thing was be drunk or be high. And Julius said, okay, don't worry about where you need to be. Today, if you are a Christian, how will you face this challenge? Right here, right now, how will you face this situation? Because normally I would go get high, right? Something bad happened, somebody said something, girlfriend broke up, you know, got fired from the job. Let's go get high, that'll help. By the way, not real wisdom, right? So how will you face it? If you are a Christian, I'm not saying you are, but if you are, how would you face it? Well, I would ask God to help me. I would maybe meet with a Christian friend. I would talk through what are my options. I would make a plan on how I'm going to respond. Okay, just do that. So you tear down the wall by just doing it differently, little by little. And you may be questioning yourself. I really don't trust God that much, but all right. But with what you do have, let's go. And you just start rebuilding in a new way. And one day you'll turn around and you think, man, I really have made some changes. I really have stopped thinking about just getting drunk or getting high or whatever it was. I've really moved down this road of life and in faith with God. And you know, all through scripture, wholehearted, be wholehearted. Maybe now I'm kind of half-hearted. I'm kind of trying, but I'm not real strong. I'm not real good, but keep going. And your goal is to be wholeheartedly trusting him, walking with him, hearing him, right? Like you said, it's brick by brick, but you start where you are.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.